this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Hi, good morning. What a great day to be in church. Yay. I'm just going to take a moment just to welcome Jesus. Please teach us today. Let us hear truth by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word in our hearts. May it penetrate through today to where you want to get into each of our hearts. Amen. So you may remember last time, if you were here, when I shared on the fruit of the Spirit being joy. The joy that I got while I was preparing for that was incredible. It was like coming at me. It was actually quite hilarious. And so after that, I was like, I could probably do that again. That was good. And I was counting ahead and I was like, gentleness. I'll do gentleness. And then the roster arrived. And that's faithfulness. And I'm like, okay. Because if you've done this, if you've stood here and shared like this, you'll know that you can't stand here and share about faithfulness if you haven't just had God show up in your life to teach you that. Okay? Well, maybe you can. I can't. So I'm like, okay, God, show me faithfulness. So I went on a journey to try and discover what is faithfulness. So I'm going to share with you what God showed me. So faithfulness, we got. So this is what the internet tells you. Faithfulness is to be consistently loyal, dependable, and true to promises, people, or beliefs, even in challenging circumstances. It involves unwavering commitment and is characterized by reliability and steadfastness. Sounds fair? Yep. So we've been, with that in mind, so it's talking about being trustworthy, loyal, steadfast. One thing that I read was steadfast in belief and action. So it's not just an internal thing, it's about what you do with it. So we might maybe understand that God is faithful, but what does it mean to us if we have the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness? Is it faithfulness to God or is it faithfulness from God? It was that one had me puzzled for a while. So I thought, why don't I look at the textbook and see if I can find the answer? So Galatians 5, if you don't know the bit about the fruit of the Spirit yet, where have you been? But now one thing I know is if there's an interesting bit of scripture, it's really important to look back and find the context of the chapter, like why is that there? So Galatians chapter 5 is talking about freedom in Christ. So there's lots of back and forth about whether these people are good enough, like is it about being good enough or are we free? Do we have freedom in Christ? There's this tension where these people are so used to all of their rituals and rules and now we're talking about this freedom. So, and then we get to, oh, more rules. But then Jesus is giving us this freedom, so we have to kind of work out where's that line in the middle of all of this. So I'm just going to read from verse 16, Life by the Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Now, has anyone ever heard the analogy of the black dog and the white dog? So it goes along the lines of we all have these two dogs inside of us, hypothetical dogs, right? One's black and one's white. And that's like a battle between the black and the white. And the question is, which dog wins? Does anyone know the answer? Which dog wins? Go. The one you feed. Okay, so this tension inside of us, is this battle between like trying to do all the right things and trying to be good, and then this freedom in Christ, and then we've got all of these rules and laws and things, and it's this constant battle in between. And so the one that wins is the one you feed. And what, sorry? Which one do you feed? Well, okay, so I think technically the black dog is the bad dog and the white dog's the good dog. Generally, that's how it works. And the answer is the white one, if that's the case. White dogs are cool. Black dogs are too, generally, like real dogs. So in verse 19, so Galatians 5:19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. I had to look some of these up. I've actually got little notes written all over trying to, what are these words? Debauchery is referring to prostitutes, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. Discord's like tension between people, like not being kind to each other. Jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions. So dissensions can mean like put downs, and it also can be specifically towards Christian people, like a disbelief of the gospel. Factions. Didn't write what that means. Says somewhere along the line, I've written in the side notes, sex with peculiar options. I'm not sure which word that was related to, though. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, when I was looking at this, there's not a conclusive list, but it's general. Most of these things, generally speaking, are actions towards other people, right? So most of us probably would not engage in like being hateful to people. We try not to be jealous. We try not to rage, be envious. We know that these things are not how God wants us to act, okay? So when we're... most of those things, are, aside from idolatry, is like putting things before God, okay? But generally speaking, these things are sins that we might do towards other people. So if we live by the Spirit, it says that we will not do those things, which means we're going to, by nature, flow more towards the fruits of the Spirit, which is the aim here. So I've written here, it's faithfulness to God and from God. It is both. Okay, so we don't... Okay, let's talk about fruit. You don't get faithfulness as a fruit, because if anyone knows fruit, fruit grows on trees, and the tree with the fruit on it needs roots that go down into the soil, okay? So, I mean, we can go and get our apples at Coles, okay? You can get them, but you're not going to produce them. We don't get the fruit unless we are connected to the tree. So when we first started looking at these fruits, the reference back to Psalm 1 came up in my mind when I was looking at the fruit. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So we're not doing all those things. Or stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. So this tree didn't get planted last week, clearly. All right, this is day and night drawing on the water from the stream that it's planted by, you know, or the water source in the ground. This is a constant thing that is growth. So we don't just decide that we're going to have this fruit. We have to do the work that leads to that. That is fertilizer, yeah? Pruning, ouch, okay? So who wants this tree in their yard? Yeah, me? I do. Okay, can we have the next tree? Who wants that tree in their yard? Me, I want that tree. So this is a fruit tree that is very much alive, doesn't look like something that, you know, doesn't look appealing because there's no fruit, because it's winter. It's dropped its leaves, it's finished its season. Okay, and now it's doing that work under the ground where it's drawing from the water source. Hopefully someone's pruning it. Looks like it's been pretty well pruned. It's got interesting shape going on there. Okay, bit of fertilizer in there, rain in season. Okay, and then that tree will produce fruit. So it might appear barren, but in this season where we would bury ourselves deep in God's word, we persevere through that season, trusting God through what looks like barrenness, that we know that God will do the work that needs to be done that's deep down inside. So he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither unless it's a fruit tree in winter, and whatever he does prospers. That's the promise. So faithfulness fruit might not look like success. If you consider Jesus going to the cross, was that faithfulness? That took a fair bit of faithfulness, okay? That doesn't look like success in the natural, okay? So you can be faithful, but people can still not see that fruit depending on your season that you're in. Persevering is about pushing through when you can't see the rewards. So if you're a sensory person that needs to see things, feel things, smell, touch, taste, all of those senses, then you're not alone. Who's heard of Thomas? So Doubting Thomas, as we otherwise know him. Yeah. Bit before the tank. So I'm referring to Thomas in John chapter 20. The disciples say to Thomas, "We've seen Jesus." And Thomas is like, "Nah, he's dead." Because he was, right? Like, that's the last actual information that he had, was that Jesus died, right? That actually happened. So 1 week later, Jesus appears to Thomas. Oh, now he can see him with his eyes. In the flesh, in real life, he can see him. He's engaged his physical senses in this case. And Jesus is like, "Hey, bro, check this out." Thomas is like literally touching his hands, putting his fingers in the holes in his hand to feel. He's engaging his physical senses in this case. That he needed that. He couldn't comprehend with his physical mind, physical brain, to understand how someone that he saw die could be alive. But now I see you, I believe you. Okay, so we can, it's completely valid if you need that. Can we have a look at the next one? Thanks. So sometimes we can be looking or listening and we don't hear or see because we don't know what his voice sounds like or what he looks like. Okay, so what you're seeing or hearing might actually be Jesus, but you just haven't learned what that is. Okay, so you all know the story of Lazarus, who also was raised from the dead. Yeah, everyone's with me on this one. Okay, so John chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus says, his words, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory." So Lazarus is already sick, Jesus knows, and he's saying he's not going to die. That's it. He's just said it. He's not going to die. So you can read the whole chapter if you're interested, John chapter 11. But if we skip down to verse 24, Martha, she's like, "Oh yeah, we know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Like, so she's fairly sure he's going to die. But oh yeah, he'll be resurrected in the last day, like when Jesus comes back for the saints. Verse 32, Mary says to Jesus, so he's already died at this point, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." Did Jesus need to be there? Well, Jesus chose not to be there. So, Mind you, these are all people that were literally there with Jesus, watching him do these miracles. They saw the miracles that he was doing. And they were still in this place of, like, not understanding. And then the others that were there at the time, could not he who healed the blind have kept this man from dying? Surely, because they knew, they've seen Jesus doing the miracles, but he didn't do this one. And that he actually was friends with Lazarus. They were, like, really close. And then along comes Jesus. He says, roll away the stone. Martha's like, he's been dead 4 days. Are you sure? That's going to be pretty stinky, right? So interestingly, Jesus waited the whole 4 days before he came and calls him out just to really prove. Like, he was really dead. He wasn't just, like, unconscious. He dead, right? So, and these people are all right there with Jesus watching the miracles, but they couldn't see, they couldn't understand, they couldn't comprehend. And not only them, but even the chief priests down John chapter 12, verse 10. So the chief priests make plans to kill Lazarus as well. This is the man that literally gets raised from the dead, and then they're like, we're going to make a plot to kill him. Like, that's going to work because Jesus is still there. So anyway. Yeah. So if you ever need some validation that, you know, if you don't quite get it, you're not alone. There's plenty of examples of exactly, it's really hard. Even when it's right in front of you, it's still, sometimes it's really hard. So we can't talk about faithfulness without talking about the Faith Hall of Fame. I'm a bit disappointed. I just found it. Picture on the internet, and it didn't have Abraham. It did not have Abraham. I was like, how could you not? Okay. But these guys, so if you have a look at Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter is telling you all about all of the people that demonstrated faith throughout the Bible. So Enoch, we're not sure exactly what he did, as far as I know, but he pleased God so much that God just took him. He's just gone. Noah built the ark when there was no rain, because God told him to, so he said, no worries, let's do it. Moses, he gave up Egypt. So the comfort, if you know the story, he actually was living in Pharaoh's palace, so he was living in royalty, and he gave that up for wilderness. And so Abraham, what a resume he has. He went where God told him to go. God said go. He pulled up stumps and went. He just went, and he didn't look back. God promised him a son. He believed for the son. And then when he got the son, God said, now give him back. And Abraham was like, okay, I'll do it. As a parent, to sacrifice your child, that's a pretty intense thing to think through. But Abraham knew that he only had Isaac because of God's miraculous blessing. Because he was really, really old. It was a miracle that him and his wife were able to have a child in the first place. So when God says, give it back, but you only had it because God gave it to you, that's faithfulness on the part of Abraham. And when Isaac questioned Abraham, he answered him, God himself will provide the lamb. So he had that faith. Even though he was responding in obedience, he was still trusting God. Okay, hands up if you know the story of Gideon. Okay, if you don't know the story of Gideon, please, your homework, go read Judges, because it's fantastic. Judges 6 to 8. This guy has 22,000 soldiers. He's going into battle, and God says, that's too many people. You need to let some go. But they're going into a war, in a battle, and God's like, nah, too many, let them go. Anyone who's scared, just leave them behind. So now he went from 22,000 to 10,000. Okay? And then God's like, nah, still too many. I'm going to give them a test. So they all go down to the creek, and they all go down to have a drink. And anyone that drinks the water like a dog, they don't come, or other way, whichever way it worked. So now he's got 300 people left. So poor old Gideon's like, okay, sure. But God says that you will go with this tiny little group of soldiers that have proved themselves so that you will know that you didn't win by your power. I'm going to make you win with this tiny little group, and then people will know that it was by my power. And 2 Corinthians 12:9, his power is made perfect in our weakness. Perfect example where, like, it's actually what we're not good at is what God will use. So we've got all of these incredible things that we can do, but that's good. That's not a bad thing. But then God actually comes in and shows up where we fail, where we're not good. That's our weakness. And also, previous to this story about Gideon, do you know the setting out a fleece example? So God's asking him something and he's like, oh, I'm not real sure if that's God, so I'm going to put out a fleece. So he puts this fleece out on the ground. So in the morning, if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, I'll know that was God. Gets out in the morning, fleece is wet, ground was dry. Just to be sure, I'm going to do it again. So the next night he puts out another fleece. Okay, God, if it's really you, tomorrow the fleece will be dry and the ground will be wet. Comes out the next morning, fleece is dry. Oh, everything else is wet, must have been God. Okay, so he even, when God showed up, he even still was like, are you sure? Are you really sure? And God showed up again and again and again. So being faithful comes before being fruitful. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So when you apply yourself to whatever it is that you're doing, that you aren't performing, like, I mean, you rock up at your job, you do your job and you get paid, that's great. But what you're doing, if you apply your heart to what you do, other versions say, whatever you do, work at it heartily. So put your heart into what you do, where you go, put your heart in there as though you're working for God, and he will reward you. Okay, so we can't talk about faithfulness without taking the opportunity to. We have to talk about marriage. That's my lovely husband. He's over there. Sorry. Okay, so we know in marriage that it is about being true to one only. It's also choosing to think the best of them, even when they don't make sense. Isn't that right, honey? When I come up with crazy things, you trust that there's a reason, even if it doesn't make sense, yeah? So we make a choice to think the best of them. You have to show up with authenticity, and you have to trust that they will think the best of you when you're being who you are. You can't fake it in marriage, otherwise you're going to end up with a mess. So being authentic, God doesn't want you to be someone else. He created you to be who you are. He doesn't want you to be someone else. I read an article a while ago. So I've got here, not having a fallback plan. So divorce is not an option. And I read this article recently. This woman was talking about how, so she had come from a really traumatic, broken home. And her husband had come from a home where the mum and dad were like a really good tight marriage. So they had completely different experiences. So if you have that traumatic breakage in your core family unit as a child, it's like your default setting until you reprogram that thinking is that's how families are. So for that to be an option in your head is not how God intended it. So when you have a faithful husband that says, I'm not going anywhere, and then this wife was sharing about how she realised in that moment that she had an exit strategy in the back here that she wasn't really paying much attention to that needed to be addressed. So when we're being faithful to God, that's your only option. Like, as in marriage, divorce is not an option. Walking away from God, not recommended. Don't do it. So, what else does marriage look like? Making yourself available, being present, yeah? Sometimes it's washing their work clothes on a Sunday night and hanging it out at 10 o'clock at night so that they've got something to wear tomorrow. Like, that's, you know, it's not always amazing and perfect, but the love is there. So that's why we do what we do. So, questions you should never ask. So moving on from marriage, generally speaking about faithfulness. So questions you should never ask. Lord, teach me patience. Teach me humility. You know, we've heard this before. Like, if, be careful what you ask for. So this week, last few weeks, I've been thinking, God, show me, what does it mean to be faithful? God gave me ants. Actual ants. All right, if this video is going to play, have a look at it. This is my kitchen. So we just bought a house. It's a fixer-upper. It's a bit of a shambles. So we got ants. And I have... See up above there, like all that silicon? We've literally siliconed everything. And they're still trying. They're working hard, these little ants. Proverbs 6 tells us, consider the ant. So I considered the ant. And then I realized, like, a minute and 7 seconds later, I'm still videoing the ants. Because, you know, like, I'm a normal person. So, yeah, that was my... I'm trying to work out what they're going to do. See that tiny little hole they're trying to go in? The math ain't mathing. And I'm a girl. That ain't going in there. It's just not going to go in there. Do you think that they give up? They are relentless. So, I went, if you can just skip to the next, there's a picture. Yeah, so there's a close-up of how tiny that hole is and how big those, whatever that food source is that they found. And another little spot where it now has silicon. So I'm just here going like, okay, God, I've learned. There was a bit of whack-a-mole going on there, shutting all the holes up. I've learned that lesson, so the ants can go now, please. Thank you. So ants, consider the ant. The ant is faithful to the queen without fail, 100% of the time. They are relentless. They do not give up. They keep trying and they keep trying. They even carried the thing over the corner looking for another spot for a little while. Couldn't find another spot, so they went back. They are loyal. They're dependable. They're dedicated to their colony. They found good food. They're bringing it home. They're working really hard. So, good news, doesn't actually say anywhere that faithfulness equals smart. Like, how long did they try to get in that little hole? For a really long time. So, yeah, that'll do. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you teach us. Thank you. Help us to be faithful as the ant in serving you, Lord God, when it doesn't make sense, when we can't see you. Okay, so what do we do about it? So just like a wife to a husband, your heart needs to be towards the person that you're faithful to. Okay, that means thinking good things. It's also putting in time and effort. Okay, so if I never took the time to get to know my husband, then that's not going to be a very good marriage. Okay. So we abide. When I looked in my, actually, I get too distracted if I use my phone for referencing. So I'm the one that actually has all the books out on my desk for. So when I look in the concordance for abide, and it's not there, it's not in the book, but it directed me to remain. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So we remain in God. We wait. It means that we are waiting on God. So this dog is waiting. Who thinks that waiting is sitting on the couch watching the telly, waiting for the next TV show, or I don't know, drinking coffee because you got 20 minutes before the next thing. If you're waiting, okay, waiting on God is not switching off your brain and blobbing on the couch. When we wait for God, I borrowed this illustration from a beautiful woman that this just landed in my heart. This dog is waiting. What's the master going to tell me to do? His ears are listening. His eyes are watching. He's even got one foot in the air, ready to go. All right? So when we're abiding, we're waiting in God, we need to be ready to go, not blobbing on the couch. All right? Attention, soldiers. Stand up. So John chapter 15 talks about being attached to the vine. It says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. So we stay attached to the vine. We persevere through the winter. We draw on the water. We receive the fertilizer. Who knows, fertilizer generally smells pretty bad. Okay, so I'm not talking about just like eating chocolate and filling up, but sometimes that takes us through a hard season, okay? And we persevere because we remember that it's what we're doing is for the glory of God. Okay, get planted, put down roots, okay? Don't just be an apple on the shelf, be a tree, be rooted and planted. And practice using your sword. Okay, now the... Yay, there it is. Does your Bible look like that? Because if it does, you should know if you're going into battle. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. You need to sharpen your sword. You can't use a sword if you haven't practiced with it. It needs to be dusted off and polished and sharpened and practiced. Something that you have to keep pursuing, persevering, persisting, abiding, remaining, being planted, using your sword. Faithfulness, yeah. Just put your hand on your heart. As we stand before the great King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and we pledge our faithfulness, Father God, we bring our hearts to you. We turn towards you. We give you our weaknesses. Be with us in the season that we are in. If it's winter and that means pruning, then do it, Lord, even if it hurts. We want to cut off the branches that are not fruitful. We receive your water. We receive your Holy Spirit, your fertilizer. Even if it's smelly, do it, Lord. Whatever needs to be done, we invite you, do it in us. Do it in me first. Because we love you. We love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We give you glory, Father God.
Facebook.